Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is LaChalice, and we're so glad you could join us. But before we begin, let us open up in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for today, Lord, and we just thank you for the manifold blessings that you have poured on our lives, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunities that you have presented to us, Lord, inside this earth, Lord, that you have blessed us with good, Lord, and that you only mean for good to happen to us, Lord. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we just ask you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we thank you.
Amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. We're glad to have you with us as we continue our study in the book of Hebrews. This morning, we are going to continue to discuss from verses 5 through 14. So if you're joining us for the first time or you're rejoining us, I just want to encourage you to pause the episode and take a moment to read that section of scripture just to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. And at this time, we're going to open the floor and give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I would.
All right, LaCharles.
Well, what the Lord was sharing with me is that as we were talking about in the previous episode, that all these things that are pointing to Christ, and it's not when we choose to acknowledge him that it begins to take effect in our life. I know that's a perspective that I falsely held my life as whenever I acknowledge it, then I can be held accountable for it. And that's how I thought about it. But that's not how it works. And we can also see here that as you were saying, Mommy, in the previous episode, that they already knew who God was in the form of what he did, but they didn't know who he actually was. And that's something that we see was addressed even back in the Old Testament about knowing God, knowing God's works, but you didn't know him as a person, not as a person, but his character and his mm-hmm. nature.
His ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
But Annie. We can also see that I would like to point out inside of verse 6 that's when he says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. But I would like to point on the fact that it said firstborn. And as Christians, we understand, yes, that we are joint heirs with Christ and that we are sons and daughters of God. We do understand that, or we at least say that. But what he's also getting at here is that we're no longer supposed to just be living from the perspective of this is what we do. We just do what the angels tell us to do, and that's how we go on, and that's how we go about life. But as you're saying, Mommy, that as humans, we have authority here on this earth, and that's something that we should be practicing, not in the form of trying to manipulate others, which is not what the Lord ever intended, but from the perspective of, okay, Lord, I know that you have given me dominion over these things, and we can go forward inside of that. And we see that inside of verse 9 and 8, where it says Jesus was the king. Jesus wasn't the one asking. If you look at any nation or kingdom, the prime minister, president, king, whatever, they don't ask the people, well, they tend not to ask the people for their opinion about every single matter. For our president of the United States, you just elect him and he makes the shots afterwards. He doesn't come to you, knock on your door and ask you what you think he should be doing. And that's something that we also have to consider inside the role of Jesus. Yes, he is the king, but as such, he's not obligated to listen to what we have to say. In perspective, whereas I try to knock on the door and say, Jesus, here's what I think we should be doing. Here's my foreign policy plans, Lord. I think we should implement these. Mm-hmm. That's not how it works. But as Christians, we mix that up and we say, okay, we're joint heirs with Christ. And as such, my opinion is just as valid as his. Mm-hmm. But that's not how it works inside this earth.
Well, here's the thing with that, right? When that happens, or as in you had an incorrect perspective and operated incorrectly, what also happened? Because what happens with most believers that are operating outside of the will of the Lord, right? They can believe in the Lord. They claim to have a relationship with him, right? But don't they then also attempt to use the word and their relationship with the Lord to justify their actions and their deeds?
Of course they do.
Even when they're outside of the nature, character, and attributes of the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's understand that in full, right? If we don't understand it, how can we ever address it and uproot that from our lives? There's one standard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And here, right, again, this is the letter to the Hebrews, to the Jews of the day. And this is when Paul was writing it, right? Paul, who was a Jew. And actually, it's also, I mean, you can look at this up on your own, but study this out. You will find that, the first church was made up primarily of Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And there were Greeks, right?
Or people from other nations.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But even many of them, right, there were the Hellenistic Jews or Greek Jews. They were still Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't people from Europe and other places. That came later as the gospel went forth. Okay, and by the gospel, I mean, yes, the word of the Lord, but the gospel of the kingdom, which is, again, Christ. So here, Paul is ministering to his own people, not utilizing, and that's the other thing to note here, which most of what he references is from the Psalms. It's not even the law or the prophets in most cases. There's really one exception, right? In verse 6, as you brought up, there's in Deuteronomy, right? But it's also in Psalms. And there's one reference from 2 Samuel. But most of everything else he lists in making his case for Christ and directly stating that the angel of the Lord is Jesus, who is the head, right, is over all the angels. It's his kingdom. It's his power and reign and authority. And he's been given this place, right, at the right hand of the majesty on high, right? He is appealing to them from their own writing, their gospel, not the one written by even the other Jews that walked with Jesus, the disciples that wrote gospels. And then you also have to look at, this is written in approximately 68 AD. So this is 30 plus years after Jesus has redeemed us from death, sin, and the curse on the cross, right? So was crucified, died, buried, and resurrected and ascended on high. So this is at least 30 years later, and he's saying he didn't even reference all the other people that have written, all the other disciples now at this point in time, apostles that were heading up the church, the first church, as it's usually referenced and as we've come to know it. He is appealing to them from their own writing that they have grown up with and known from the beginning.
They have a tradition of handing things down verbally. They memorize it. It's a part of their daily sayings, some of these things that he's referencing, and the scriptures that they are familiar with, because they've heard it in synagogue. They've heard it, and as they've been brought up, it's written and put in little boxes. I mean,
it's a part of their daily life.
It's a part of their daily life. Absolutely. Now, one thing that he's also talking to, and keep this in mind, as the Lord was inspiring the Word of God, and especially when you see Paul's letters, he writes to whom he's writing to. He speaks the way they speak, and so he talks to them. It's still the content and the core of who God is. It's still God's character and his nature, but it's from the perspective of, this is how you're looking at it, so let me talk to you from this angle. So like when he was talking to, like we just looked at the Ephesians, he talked a lot about there's no Jew or no Greek and things like that. And he'll say that to the Hebrews, as the Jews as well, but he talks to them from a different perspective because they have a different understanding or different exposure. Amen. And that's more so what it is, a different exposure to the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, but the law and the prophets. And as he's talking to them here, also keep in mind that they were looking for a Messiah to come as a natural man and be a second King David, basically.
A general, a warrior.
Right, and be just a second who would mm-hmm. physically and literally deliver them from their physical and natural opponents, or occupiers. So they were expecting a natural man to come by natural means that was still, you know, special, like David was special, mm-hmm. Samson was special, Gideon was special, but they were natural people. And to go about in a way that was similar to what was done in the Judges or through the kings, the older kings,
right.
to bring a natural deliverance to the people. And they didn't realize that God was talking on a whole other scale and that the prior...
as he often does and usually does.
Absolutely. The prior were types and shadows mm-hmm. of the latter, who was the original. But so that he could facilitate their understanding, he gave types and shadows, examples, right? And when he spoke to David about a king who would sit on his throne forever, he was preaching the gospel to David, Amen. Not talking about natural people. And even though the Messiah would come and put on flesh as a man, he was not a natural man because God mm-hmm. was his father. So they had all the elements to bake the cake, but they weren't thinking that they were going to bake the cake. They
had the kingdom preached to them, but did not understand the kingdom.
Exactly. So they were misappropriating what God was saying to them. So as the Lord is ministering through the apostle here, he's trying to put it in order. And he's not failing at it, but this is why he's articulating it mm-hmm. this way, because you didn't miss the Messiah. A lot of Jews still feel and believe today in error that because they were bad, they delayed the coming of the Messiah because they were waiting for someone to physically push all the occupiers, the non-Jew occupiers, out of Israel so they could once again have their freedom. They'd go ahead and, you know, carry on.
Continue their lifestyle as they wanted, as they desired.
Amen. And I think part of that was done so that everyone else would have an opportunity to come in, but a misunderstanding that the epitome of all that God is doing is not based on human flesh. It's based on his kingdom that he is restoring. And it's a spiritual matter that he's taking care of, but he's giving us this time here in the natural to carry it, to make our stance and our choice for if we will be or rejoin his family or not. And because of that, it made everything off skew or skewed that they were trying to understand and look at through the scriptures. So when the Messiah came, they rejected him because he wasn't what they thought. He wasn't what they imagined him to be. So that's why the Apostle Paul is going through such detail to articulate, no, you know this, you know him, the Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, you know him, you've already been introduced to him, and he came, and this is what he looks like, and this is who he is, this is what he did for you. It's so much bigger than what you were anticipating and expecting. Amen. So don't desire the lesser thing, take the grand and the bigger thing that God is blessing you with, which is the spiritual, the eternal.
Amen. You know, as you're discussing there, honey, I love how the Lord, through Paul, brings this up, right? Because he starts talking immediately in this letter, this epistle. He talks about the foundation. The foundation is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, and that's what he begins with, actually continues for, well, as I said, through minimum the first two chapters. He goes on much more than that, but just the comparison, delineating Christ's superiority over the rest of the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. What he preached, right? He preached the kingdom. And he's saying, look, this is who rules and reigns. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He does exactly what the Father does and says. And it's also our pattern example. If we know him, we know the Father. And Holy Spirit, he was led and guided by Holy Spirit. So mm-hmm. just something for us to understand of why this is so important, why Paul would lead discussing Christ as opposed to just writing a letter and then at some point segueing or transitioning into a discussion about Christ. He leads with Christ because he's saying that's the foundation of which everything that you know is established upon.
Amen. And if you don't make this transition successfully, you're going to miss
your relationship and eternity mm-hmm. in the heavenly community
Amen.
With him.
Amen.
Dad, both you and mommy touched on what I was going to say, okay. looking at verses 10 and 12, when it's talking about the Lord, and this is what it says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail." So, mommy, when you're mentioning about the children of Israel, they were focused on the person coming to deliver them from the Romans, because that's who they were under at that time. Had the Lord come down to their thought process so many times like we want him to, if he comes down to our opinion, but back to the case of the children of Israel, if he had gone with what they thought, the rest of us Gentiles wouldn't have the salvation that we have, because Jesus would have only been trying to play the role that the Hebrews set up for him to play when he was talking about being the savior of the entire world. So the salvation that we are so quick to enjoy or we want from God, it would not be available to us if he had conformed to our opinion what we thought it should have been like. And back to verse 12 about him not changing, that also is talking about his character. We read with Jonah, he was so utterly outraged that God would offer mercy to the Ninevites. He thought it was only for the Hebrews. And the Lord said, "Look how they repented before me. They're in sackcloth and ashes. Should I not have mercy on them?" Because there was a point in time where Israel needed mercy. And there were times after that that Israel needed mercy. Mm-hmm. But they did the same thing that the Ninevites did. They put on their sackcloth and ashes and they wanted God's mercy. Mm-hmm. But Jonah was going, "Oh no, Lord, you can't give them mercy because they're Gentiles." So if we want to bring God down to our level, but we don't understand the implications and the ramifications that that would have if he said, "All right, I'll let you have what you want," we would all miss out on eternity. We would all be destined to hell. There is nobody going back to the heavenly community. We'll just be looking at it for eternity mm-hmm. in flames and torment mm-hmm. and torture, because that's what we would have gotten for ourselves. There's a reason why Jesus is king, why he's got the name above every other name. Not me, not Layla, mm-hmm. not LaCharles or mm-hmm. anybody else, because we don't understand and have not yet matured and come up to God's level of thinking. So he does not invest that in us at this time. Now, as we do mature, he'll invest more, like you can do more mm-hmm. within his name. But as far as the salvation goes and knowing what people need is specifically and exclusively to him. We think we know what we want and we think we know what we need, but 99.98% of the time, it's wrong.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
They got a few more nines to add to that.
Yeah.
0.999999.
We take the whole episode and all of eternity to get to the nines part.
If it's between the Lord and us, we are wrong 100% of the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And anything that comes out of our flesh is wretched. It's Amen. Rotten. It's putrid. It stinks. And it is destined and bound for failure. But everything he does is good and it will succeed.
It's perfect. It lacks nothing.
Amen to that. Mm-hmm. Amen to that. You know, there's times that I have been 30 years behind God telling me, "No, I'm not doing that," on a request that I've asked him. 30 years later, he was able, when I finally caught up with him, to say and show me why he told me no. And what I thought was a grand idea, a grandiose idea, and bold, and even felt like God let me down in some regards because he mm-hmm. didn't grant my petition and my request. 30 years later, he was able to go, now that you're ready to talk, little baby, let's talk. Let me show you what would have happened had I listened to what you said. Not only would you have perished, but you would have led others into sin. And I was like, "Oh Lord, I didn't know. I wasn't trying to do that. That mm-hmm. wasn't my immediate desire, like my conscious intention," but it doesn't change the fact that what the word says in James about why we pray and we do not receive because we want to consume it on our own lusts and our own desires is a true statement. And we should just let God judge. Let him be right and righteous because he knows all things.
Amen. He absolutely knows all things and has declared it from the beginning, right? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
So all these scriptures that Paul is pointing out are, again, things that were already in their writings, right? Mm-hmm. And again, he didn't even use the law and the prophets. He used what's you know, in the Torah, or I'll say in the Jewish Bible. It's entirely the Old Testament. It's the law, the prophets, and the writings. Mm-hmm. And most of it comes out of the writings, out of Psalms, is what he uses to make his case, which was what he declared in the first four verses. He's again here proving it to them. I'll say again, making or continuing to just build upon the case for Christ. Jesus, the Christ, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, is the angel of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's on us to make that choice for him out of faith, receiving his grace, his mercy, and his love that he so freely gave and poured out over us. Mm-hmm. So let's pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the work that you've done, Lord, and we thank you that you're God Almighty and that you're on the throne all on your own, Lord, and that you see all things and you know all things, Lord, and everything is within your hand, Lord, and you are above all, in all, and through all. So, Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness, and we thank you for your kindness that you've shown to each and every one of us, Lord. We ask for mercy as we go to school, as we go to work, Lord, or wherever it is that you have us, Lord. Guide us into all truth and show us things to come, Lord. And we ask that you will minister through us, Lord, so that we're able to touch the people that need to be touched, and they have an opportunity to hear the undefiled preaching of your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care, and God bless you.